which, you know, the world has enough of them. But it's, as you can tell, we've predominantly been in Ephesians chapter 4 for this study. And that's where we're going to start again tonight. So gifts from the ascended Christ, we'll be looking at that tonight. And just as a way of introduction, I left Orange County, New York in January of 2010. So how long ago is that? 13 and a half years ago. And after a 14-plus year ministry in Orange County, to come to New Hampshire to plant churches. So I was there for about 14-plus years, and the Lord moved, of course, you know, to come up here to plant churches. I was told by many of my pastor friends that I was committing spiritual suicide. Why leave the successful ministry that you have grown? And also at the time, I was the president of the Fellowship of Fundamental Bible Churches, and exact quote, go to the graveyard of pastors and churches. Well, many people, sadly, many pastors, fall for the lie that you can't plant or grow a church in hard places, as if it depended on us. Right? It doesn't depend on us. What did Jesus say in Matthew 16? I will build my church. Okay? And I remember very early on in my ministry in New York, when Sandy and I and the boys went there, I think the boys were 6 and 8 years old. Here they are, old men. And, you know, when we went there, the church, it was a rescue. The church was probably about 6 months from closing its door. Sandy, myself, and the boys, we were the youngest people there. The next youngest couple in the church were in their 70s, okay? And I got very good, very quickly, at doing funerals. And the church grew from about 26 people to 18. Okay, and I said to myself, Lord, what did I do? I sold my business. I sold my house. I moved here. You know, we moved into a parsonage that was falling down around us. And one morning, I was reading in my devotions, and I read that passage in Matthew 16. I will build my church. And from that moment on, oh, me of little faith, but from that moment on, as much faith as I had, I believed that verse. And then the Lord began to grow our church, for which we are thankful. And, of course, you know the rest of the story. He led us here. But, you know, we hear from people that, it's hard planting. You know what? It's hard planting a church anywhere today. Why is that? Because it's hard growing a church anywhere. Why is that? Because it's 2023, right? And the world is getting not better but worse, and our country is getting less and less, has a less and less spiritual influence upon it. So it doesn't matter where you go today. It's hard, but God specializes in hard things, and God loves to do hard things, and God loves to work. You know, and when we let him work, he does work. And just remember, we have a ministry in the growth of this church, but it doesn't depend upon us. It depends upon him. And we have responsibilities, and we're going to talk about that over the next few weeks. But what is growth? What is growth? Is growth limited to adding new members? Yes or no? No. Growth is not limited to adding new members. And can any church grow anywhere? Sure. If the church is committed to doing the right and biblical thing, a church can grow anywhere. Okay? I believe that with all my heart. If God is at work, there is always the potential for growth. In fact, God has provided for his sovereign purpose of growth in the church to be fulfilled. And one of the ways he has done this is by bestowing the church with gifts. I think, is Larry doing a study on gifts, or did just finished one, or he's starting it? Great, awesome. So that's very important. But these gifts include both people and their abilities needed for growing the church. And a church can make steady progress toward fulfilling God's purpose of building and growing his church. Now notice with me Ephesians 4:16. And let's look first at the ascended Christ. So our Lord left heaven. He came to earth. He dwelt among us. He, of course, took our sin upon himself. He died in our place. He rose again victorious over sin and death and the grave. And 40 days later, he ascended back into heaven. Okay? And then 10 days after that, he sent the Holy Spirit. But look what verse Ephesians 4:16 says. For whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. Now notice this last phrase. Maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So we have seen already that the people of the church contribute to its growth. How do we grow? One of the ways we grow is we edify. What does that word mean? We build up each other, right? And sometimes that's numbers, but sometimes it's also helping each other along in their daily sanctification. We got a lot of discipleship that goes on here. That's all part of this edifying process. And then once someone is discipled, they should soon become a discipler rather than the disciplee. And that's a continual growth. So we do have something to contribute to the growth of this church. But ultimately, friends, ultimately, growth comes from God. He places and enables and uses his children to accomplish his will. He puts the right people with the needed abilities in the right places. And we can just see how God, through the history of our life and our church, has moved people from here, to here and whatnot. And he does that. Look at Acts chapter 1. Keep a mark in Ephesians 4. We'll be back there. But look at Acts chapter 1. I made mention of the Lord ascending back into heaven. And in Acts chapter 1, verse 8 and 9, the Bible says, But ye shall receive power, this is Jesus speaking, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he, Jesus, had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. So here the Lord ascends back into heaven. When Jesus ascended back to heaven, he did two things vital to the life of the church. Number one, he sent the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2. Verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of a fire, and it set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. So what did Jesus do? The first thing he did for the church when he ascended was he sent the Holy Spirit. And how do we know the Holy Spirit came? There was a sound, rushing mighty wind. And then suddenly, on these 120 who were in the upper room, the cloven tongues of fire are over their heads. And this is a sign of the Shekinah glory, right? Wherever God was, when he came to the, when Moses met him, he met him in a burning bush. When the tabernacle was completed in the wilderness, the Shekinah glory came and filled the tabernacle. When Solomon built the temple, the permanent dwelling for God in Jerusalem, the Shekinah glory came and filled the temple. Paul tells us now, you and I are the temple of God. God dwells within us. And what was proof that God is now dwelling in people? The Spirit of God came and came upon them. So he sent the Holy Spirit, the enabler. But he also, go back to Ephesians, he also provided the church with the resources to continue his work on earth. Look at Ephesians 4:8. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. So what did the Lord do to help in many things, but for the topic of our study, you know, the thriving church, what did the Lord give to the church to help it to grow? The Holy Spirit and gifts. Okay? And we have the gifts and we have the Spirit of God to enable the church to grow. Now, what are the gifts? Look at verse 7. But unto every one of us is grace given according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Now, there is a gift for each believer. I'm not going to get so much into the gifts. I'm sure Larry will in his study. Okay, but there is a gift for each believer. And with this ability that God gives us, he gives us gifts, each one of us gifts to use to the edifying, the building up of his church. With this ability comes responsibility, okay, to use our gift for his glory. Every Christian can and should contribute to the growth of their local church. And remember, the church grows two ways, quantitatively and qualitatively. And all of us should be involved in that growth process. Remember, every member contributing to the edifying of the church, being together, praying together, being concerned about one another, helping each other grow, talking to unsaved people, inviting them to services in church, sharing the gospel with them. All of these things we all should be doing. This is done with their gift given by the Lord. And again, verse 7, these gifts are received from God by his grace, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. So these gifts are also given to us by God's grace. We don't deserve them, but God, because he is a gracious God, bestows gifts upon us. Who doesn't like to receive a gift? Come on. You know, guys, don't forget, week and a half, not this Sunday, next Sunday, Mother's Day, okay? Don't forget that. And don't forget, you know, to take care of your wife, take care of your mother. Everybody likes gifts, right? You know, the next month, Father's Day, ladies, men like to get guns, don't forget that. And you know, but no, I'm just teasing. But seriously, but God, because he is gracious, he gives us gifts. And these gifts, not only our salvation is a gift, but he gives us gifts to help the church to grow. Now, notice the giver. Now, the focus on the Ephesians passage is not so much on the gifts. When Larry gets into the gifts, I'm sure he'll be in 1 Corinthians, he'll be in Romans. Paul here is not so much dwelling on the gifts, but he's dwelling on the giver of the gift. Who's the giver of the gift? Look at again, chapter 4, verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ, whereby he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And what do we see here? We see here a picture of a victorious king. And of course, here, the victor is the Lord Jesus Christ. We see the victorious Christ illustrated as a king returning to his homeland after a great victory. And he has the spoils of war, which he shares with his loyal subjects. This passage is a very interesting passage, and you know, verses 9 and 10, there's lots of good debate about what is being spoken of there. I believe that when Jesus died on the cross, and between his death and his resurrection, what did he say to the thief on the cross? Today you'll be with me in paradise, Abraham's bosom. At that time, heaven, paradise was, it seemed to be in the earth. And there seemed to be a great gulf fixed between paradise and hell. Remember the rich man and Lazarus. Lazarus was, the rich man was in hell and Lazarus was in Abraham's bosom. And they were communicating. And the picture here is Christ going down and leading all those souls that were in paradise out of heaven. All those people who trust in the coming Messiah. They had put their faith, if you will, in the Messiah on credit. Well, the bill was paid and he led them all out of there. Peter tells us he preached doom to those souls that were in hell. And he led these people out. Could you imagine that victory train, right? All these people rejoicing. And the picture here is his freeing all of those prisoners of war and then coming into his home, back to his city, and giving the spoils of war to his loyal subjects. And just as people in Paul's day would have been familiar with these scenes because Rome didn't lose a whole lot of wars. And they would have been used to seeing those pictures of these Roman generals coming and with the spoils of war. Paul uses this as an illustration. But the one who has provided us with these gifts is our victorious ascended Savior. And what is the purpose of these gifts? The latter part of verse 10 says that he might fill all things. And it says in Ephesians 1, verse 22, it says, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So why did Jesus do this? So that he could fill all things. So that he could receive all the glory. So that when our churches in Hill and Winneswam, as they grow, who is receiving the glory? God. Why? Because he's the one who sent the Spirit, and he's the one who has given us the gifts. And we are just using what he has given us. And Hill Village Bible Church and Winneswam Bible Church, we are Jesus' active presence in the Hill and Winneswam area. We are Jesus' body on earth. He is working through us, that he might fill all things. we don't want people to see us when we come to church. We want people to see Jesus. And we want people to know God's at work there. And they might not fully understand all that, but as they search for truth, Jesus says, seek and ye shall find, right? And as they're seeking, as they're finding, they'll see Jesus. That's what we want people to see. We want them to see Jesus. So then the distribution of gifts, number four. Jesus, from his exalted position at the Father's right hand, gives these gifts. Notice verse 8 again. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. And verse 11 says, and he gave some. So again, who is the distributor of the gifts? The Lord Jesus. So we really can't complain about the gift we've received, because who gave it to us? God did, right? And today we took Noah to Fun Spot. Fun Spot. I called it Fun Town. I was wrong. It's Fun Spot. Okay. And you ever go to Fun Spot with your little grandchildren? Sensory overload, right? And 3 seconds on this game. 3 seconds on this game. 4 seconds on this game. Oh, I like this one. 6 seconds on this game. I mean, and there was just back and forth and back and forth. And Grandpa took a nap when he got home. But anyway. But I say that because now Noah's 5 years old. He does, you know. But rather than walking in there and just, you know, seeing all of that, there was like no satisfaction. This game, that game. A lot of times we're that way, right? We're that way with, you know, spiritually even. We're just not satisfied. And I'm sure that one of the things Larry is also going to discuss is, you know, once you identify what the gifts are, how do you identify your gift? And so these are things that we have to know. But it's the Lord Jesus who gives these gifts. And the divine side, God calls men to ministry and leads them to a specific place of service. So if God gives the gift, God has to be the one who gives that person the gift. That person recognizes his gift, and then God leads that person where he wants him. When I was growing up in New Jersey and surrendered my life to the Lord and went to Bible Institute, I had never heard about Pine Island, New York. And it was only about 80 miles from my home. I'd never heard of it, right? I'd never heard of Pine Island Bible Church ever. Had no idea about it. But God, through his providence, led me there. God, through his providence, after some time, led us up to the Twin Mountain and Whitefield area to plant Victory Baptist Church. And we were there for about 5 years. And at the end of that time, we merged what folks were there with Twin Mountain Baptist Church. And then Sandy and I sought the Lord's leading. And I was very good friends at the time with Pastor Michaud. And Pastor Michaud called me up and said, hey, do you ever hear of Hill, New Hampshire? No, I never heard of Pine Island, never heard of Hill. And he said, then you probably never heard of Hill Village Bible Church. No. And his exact words, I think you'd be a good fit at Hill. So he gave me a phone number. It was Rich Kirby's, and you know the rest of the story. You know, so God leads. He calls and leads specific people to specific places. So I love to hear when missionaries come, you know, how did you know to go to wherever? You know, and to hear those accounts. But on the human side, so the divine side, God gifts and God calls and God moves. But what about on the human side? Well, for the pastor, men experience God's call. They're obedient to it, and then they go where he leads. I remember vividly the calling of God in my life, and I remember struggling with that because I was a very satisfied owner of DNS Garage. I just wanted to spend the rest of my life there being an auto mechanic. I loved working on cars, but we started up a young adult Bible study in our home, and through that Bible study, God began to call me into the ministry. And I remember laying there in my bed one night and tossing and turning and fighting with God against this call. Don't fight God, you will lose, okay? And fighting against this call, Lord, it's me. You know, I'm a grease monkey. I'm not, you know. And finally, you know, tossing and turning one night to where Sandy finally turned on the light and said, "What is the matter?" I said, "I can't fight it anymore, Sandy. I think God's called me into the ministry." She says, "I've known this for 3-4 weeks. Go to bed." And exactly what happened. And so we began to prepare for the ministry. So God calls people. And I can't really explain it to somebody, you know. I mean, I can explain what happened, but how you know when God's calling you. You just can't get this out of your mind. And God begins to take, you know, a lifelong desire and, you know, to work on cars and just to be under hoods and, you know, and just loving to make things that don't run and having the satisfaction of seeing a car come in on a wrecker and drive out under its own power and just, you know, and taking that all away, you know, and it's incredible. But then God also, on the local church side, God provides a pastor or pastors who will shepherd his flock. And you all know how you go through that process. You know, sometimes you know, you have people come and you listen to them. And I think one of the things that was a little bit unique with my being called here, you know, because I wasn't so far away, we were able to get to know each other for 3 months before we made that decision. So see how God works all of this out. And it's God who is working, and then it's us who are being obedient to that call. And we're seeing firsthand, friends, not because of anything I have done, Pastor Andrew has done, or anything that any of us has done, because what God has done, and we've chosen to believe him, we're seeing God do amazing things in 2023 in New England, of all places. And all the glory goes to him, because he needs to be the one who fills what? All things, even our ministry. So, to wrap this up, the one who gave his life for his church rose again, ascended back to heaven to the Father's right hand, and sent the Holy Spirit to give birth to his church and empower its growth. Because he is our sovereign Lord, Jesus distributed through the Holy Spirit gifts to the church that would enable the church to fully represent him everywhere in the world as he sees fit. In submission to him, we are compelled to use these gifts to help the body grow quantitatively by number and qualitatively in our sanctification, which brings him glory. To refuse to use your gift is the height of ignorance, ingratitude, and irreverence. And I'm excited that Larry is doing this study on the gifts. And I think that it will be good for us to know what our gift is so we can use it. Next week, Lord willing, we'll look at the pastor's role of equipping. And then after that, we'll begin to look at, for the most of the rest of the study, is every member ministering so that we can have a thriving ministry. I hope this has been helpful, and we pray that God continues to use us for his honor and glory here in Hill and Winter.